Good morning. This morning is Easter Sunday, I'd like to look a little bit at the at a little part of the crucifixion. When Jesus was nailed, when he was crucified, there was some people in that process that were that were changed. There was people that when they seen what happened at the crucifixion, and I'd like to shed just a little bit of light on what some of the things that happened, maybe bring it in perspective, maybe just a little bit here. But I'm looking at the centurion and his confession of faith when Jesus died. He said, "Truly, this was the Son of God," and that's found in Matthew. I'm not going to read that, but it's in Matthew there. But I don't think I'm saying anything that is new this morning. I'm sure I'm not, because, but just to maybe kind of freshen up a crucifixion, and I didn't know all of this, but maybe some of you have for a long time. But the when they crucified someone, that mode of punishment was, they would nail or, you know, fasten your arms, you know, to the cross beam, and then your feet were fastened at the bottom. But death didn't happen generally. Death didn't happen by bloodshed. It was by suffocation. Because with your arms hanging, if, you know, when you're, like, the pain, most people, you couldn't stand on your feet. You'd have to let up. And if you hang by your arms, you will actually suffocate. You can't breathe in that position. Like, if you're hanging by your arm. That's probably not anything new to you guys. But just to kind of bring up, and if you can think of the centurion, he was this probably wasn't anything new to him. And I guess, well, maybe let me clarify a little bit. What I'm trying to get at is, what made the centurion make that confession? What, because he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God," and it was a confession of faith. What was different about this crucifixion versus any other? And the Romans had, you know, that was something. And I'd like to look just at a few things that might have stuck out to him. It wasn't just this. That, I mean, it says when the centurion and those with him saw these things. So it wasn't, and I don't know necessarily if this is was the principal thing. I don't know at what level that stuck out in his mind or if it did at all, but it did. There would have been some things about some of the Jesus' behavior on the cross that would have been very different than the average crucifixion. And one point I think that would have stuck out to like one thing Jesus said is he never died. He said, "I lay my life down." As a human, that would have set that apart, because as humans, we can't we can take our life by, you know, some mode, but we can't just die at our will without being able to do something about it. That doesn't happen. So, and crucifixion sometimes could last days. Like depending on the person's, you know, health, they could go on. It was a grisly affair. I mean, it was not pretty. So the cause of death would often be, I mean, I'm sure there was a fair bit of blood that didn't help, but the cause of death would have been suffocation. Jesus was the first thing that probably would have took. And that probably varied from person to person. You know, some people are very expressive of pain and things like that. So some people would have probably been, and the type of people that were crucified would have been usually heavy criminals. Rome didn't have any problem with killing somebody slow or whatever like that. But generally, crucifixion would have been, it was kind of adopted, if I have my history right, to as a deterrent. You know, so a big name rebel like that was very defiant, usually then that they crucified them, that is kind of a deterrent for other people to maybe let up or, you know, get away from if they're going to think about doing that. But then, you know, Jesus, so they're nailing Jesus to the cross, and he's along in there, he's saying, "Father, forgive them." That had to be completely different. I don't think they could, anybody would have ever heard that before. The people that were killing him, usually there would have probably been mumbles or curses or defiant speech, you know, just, "I'm not," you know, whatever. But that there probably, this centurion they had to notice that. That was odd. Jesus didn't talk a lot either. He did also talk to other. He did also talk to other people. Like, he looked out for his mother. He told John to take care of her. I'm not sure why emotionally. I'm all of a sudden kind of right at the edge there. But Jesus was in this time. He also forgave the thief, and there was salvation happened there. So this whole thing wasn't typical to start with, but one little part that I've thought of recently, I think it was John MacArthur that first brought that up, that I had heard, that was his tone of voice. When Jesus came down, okay, so he made several statements. He said, "I thirst." Then he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But when he said these two last statements here, it said he cried with a loud voice, and I'm quoting John MacArthur here, said, but more a better rendering of that would he, you could have said he screamed. He didn't just kind of holler or maybe kind of talk like I'm talking. And normally as death was coming, our voices get weaker. Like, there's not somebody dying and they cry with a loud voice. That doesn't happen. Like, if death is happening because of injury or anything, there's an ebb down of the voice. Like, your voice gets weaker. And, you know, those of you that have been with loved ones, you know, sometimes you really have to get down close to here. So, to put a little bit of this in perspective, Devon didn't want me to take long. I want to keep this scooting here. But to put this a little bit in perspective, like, sometimes we sweep over these Bible stories, and it's not bad. We just have heard them all the time. But to put a few things in perspective, like, sometimes there's little parts of a Bible story that you never thought of that puts it in I don't know if context is the right word. I'm not sure if I'm using quite the right words, but like I think of the story of Jonah, and the mariners were exceedingly afraid. Okay, well, you know, I'm just thinking they're in a little boat and there's waves high and they got scared. You know, these were seasoned mariners. So when they were crying out every man to his God, they knew this wasn't, they weren't getting out of this one, you know, barring the gods. I mean, that wasn't going to happen. Another one is David and Goliath. Like, we just think of David, you know, and especially as a younger guy, you kind of tempted to think, well, you know, if he just had brought a good game, you know what I mean? He just got that sword right. David and Goliath, that was a miracle. That would have been like me blocking Andrew in basketball. That's not going to happen. But like there's parts of that and like we sort of look at Saul and his men with a sneer that they didn't go out. But without God's help, they would have been dead. They knew that. Like, they knew that the size of that man, they weren't stupid. They knew it wasn't going to happen. So this Roman centurion, when Jesus cried with a loud voice, and like I say, these Roman soldiers, you know, they were sitting around, they were supposed to guard the thing, you know, often there might have been somebody to come up, try to help, you know, like steal another rebel or something, try to defend their person or whatever, whoever's being crucified. So they were around just to keep order. And like I say, sometimes these crucifixions could go on a couple of days. So when they heard Jesus cry with a loud voice, you know, that birthday party, we're going to go home I'm going to go to tonight, we're probably not going to go. He's still going pretty strong. You know what I mean? And they had to stay there till it was, you know, somebody had to stay there till it was over. I don't know if they thought that. But I mean, like, when somebody's talking loud, that's not. And back to the type, when it says he cried with a loud voice, it says he screamed, which we would normally ascribe that to women. You don't never, you don't refer to a man as screaming. But what it would have been is it would have, and I thought of it, we're in the South. It would have been, and if you've read history at all, the rebel yell, like in the Civil War, they had the rebel yell. That actually was would have been similar to this. It was a, it was kind of a shriek. It was not just a and we all go. It was a, in fact, there was a Civil War reunion that was about 40 years after the war, that there was some veterans there, and they asked them to do the rebel yell, and they said, "We don't have enough air." Like they were older men by that point, but there was a, it was a. And so, if you think about it, like, I've always in my mind kind of thought of Jesus cried with a loud voice. But it would have been probably more, "It is finished!" Like that, that was more what, and so when they heard that, he's not, and it says he gave up the ghost. Like he hung his head and died. I don't have any idea, and I don't want to add to Scripture, but I would wonder if that wasn't what made the centurion say, something happened there. And I don't know that they believed it, because then they went, they had orders to kill the prisoners, and they went by and they checked Jesus. I wonder if they even, like, he's dead. This guy was just hollering. And it wasn't, and like, I don't know, I just, that just blessed me that when I thought of that, Jesus cried with a loud voice. He said before he was crucified, he said, "No man takes my life. I lay it down." And he proved it. And I've often wondered at why he cried with a loud voice, but that was proof that I'm not dead. I'm not, he could make himself live as long as he wanted. It could have cut a hole in the side of him. He could have kept living. God can give life to anything he wants. But he laid it down. That's all I have there.